జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారీ జయ రాధా కుంజ విహారీ జయ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ యశోదానందన గజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన గజ జన రంజన యమునా క్రీడా వనచారీ యమునా క్రీడా వనచారీ యశోదానందన గజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన గజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరా వనచారీ రావణకారీ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ రామ రామ
Oh, my.
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
కీర్తన కీ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా వృందావన చంద్రకి శ్రీ శ్రీ జగన్నాథ బలసూద్ర మహారాణికి శ్రీ శ్రీ గౌర్ నితాయికి శ్రీనివాస్ బాలాజీకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి సమావేత భక్త వృందకి నితాయ గౌర ప్రేమానందని ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షుఃన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపః కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురోః శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమావోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. సప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానోసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. టుడే ఐ హావ్ టు స్పీక్ ఇన్ ఇంగ్లీష్. ఐ యాక్చువల్లీ థాట్ దట్ సబ్జెక్ట్ ఇస్ so you can take the verse ma please. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేష్ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. ఐ కెన్ రీడ్ ద వర్స్ అండ్ దెన్ గివ్ యు దట్ బుక్. దిస్ ఇస్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 5th క్యాంటో 1st చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 25 అండ్ 26. అగ్నే అగ్నిద్రేద్మజిహ్వ యజ్ఞబాహు మహావీర హిరణ్యరేతో ఘృతపృష్ట సవన మేధాతిథివీతి హోత్ర కవయ ఇతి సర్వ ఏవాగ్ని నామానః ద టెన్ సన్స్ ఆఫ్ మహారాజ్ ప్రియవ్రత్ వర్ నేమ్డ్ అగ్నిద్ర ఇద్మజీవ యజ్ఞబాహు మహావీర హిరణ్యరేత ఘృతపృష్ట సవన మేధాతిథి వీతిహోత్ర అండ్ కవి దర్ దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో ద నేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ అగ్ని ద ఫైర్ గాడ్ 26th verse. ఏతేషాం కవిర్ మహావీరః సవన ఇతి త్రయ ఆసన్ ఊర్ధ్వరేతసస్థ ఆత్మవిద్యాయాం అర్భ భావాత్ ఆరభ్య కృతపరిచయాః పారమహంస్యం ఏవాశ్రమం అవజన్ ఏతేషాం ఆఫ్ దీస్ కవిః కవి మహావీరః మహావీర సవనః సవన ఇతి దస్ త్రయః త్రీ ఆసన్ వేర్ ఊర్ధ్వరేతసః కంప్లీట్లీ సెలిబ్రేట్ తే దే ఆత్మవిద్యాయాం ఇన్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నాలెడ్జ్ అర్భభావాత్ ఫ్రమ్ చైల్డ్హుడ్ ఆరభ్య బిగినింగ్ కృతపరిచయాః వెరీ వెల్ వర్స్డ్ పారమహంస్యం ఆఫ్ ద హైయెస్ట్ స్పిరిచువల్ పర్ఫెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్ ఏవ సర్టన్లీ ఆశ్రమం ద ఆర్డర్ అభజన్ ఎగ్జిక్యూటెడ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్కి Three among these ten, namely Kavi, Mahavira and Savana, lived in complete celibacy, thus trained in brahmachari life from the beginning of childhood. They were very conversant with the highest perfection known as Paramahamsa Ashrama. What are their names? Kavi, Mahavir and Savana. Three of them out of ten. Purport. The word Urdhvaretasaha in this verse is very significant. Urdhvareta refers to one who can control sex life and who, instead of wasting semen by discharging it, can use this most important substance accumulated in the body to enrich the brain. One who can completely control sex life is able to work wonderfully with his brain, especially in remembering. Thus, the students who simply hear Vedic instructions once from their teacher could remember them verbatim without needing to read books, which therefore did not exist in former times. Another significant word is arbha bhavat, which means from very childhood. Another meaning is from being very affectionate to children. In other words, Paramahamsa life is dedicated for the benefit of others. Just as a father sacrifices many things out of affection for his son, great saintly persons sacrifice all kinds of bodily comforts for the benefit of human society. In this connection, there is a verse concerning the six Goswamis. Tyaktva turnam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchavat bhutvadina ganesha kaukarunaya kaupina kanthashrito. Actually, I was not planning to show this. Okay. Because of their compassion for the poor, fallen souls, the six Goswamis gave up their exalted positions as ministers and took vows as mendicants, thus minimizing their bodily wants as far as possible. They each accepted only a loincloth and a begging bowl. Thus they remained in Vrindavan to execute the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by compiling and publishing various Vaishnava literatures. Yeah. So the sons of Priyavrat, how many of them? 10 of them. Out of those 10, three of them became Naishtik Brahmacharis. Very strict celibacy they kept, and they became Urdhvaretas, it is said. So there is a Dhiryaretas, there is a Urdhvaretas. Dhiryaretas means one whose semen flows downwards.
And Urdu Ritas is one whose semen flows upwards. So this was a subject I felt it will be valuable for us to discuss today. Therefore, I'm speaking in English. It will be a little more easy to convey what we want to say. Actually, there is a misconception amongst many people that those who are taking to the renounced order of brahmacharya or sannyas or things like that, they are suppressing a God-given gift. That God has given you beautiful women, and he has given sex life. You can beget children, you can expand family, and you can live in this world happily. Why do you deny these pleasures and go to the forest and take to the renounced order? And you are into a denial mode, a self-denial mode. Actually, these people are followers of Charvak. Charvak actually rinam kritva gritam pibet yavat jive sukham jive basmin bhutasya dehasya kutah punaragamana bhavet, he said. So Charvak's philosophy means eat, drink and be merry. They are the people who talk this, who do not know anything about the sublime spiritual goals of life. So therefore these people are ignorant when they talk these things, because they don't know that the life of a brahmacharya or a sannyasi is not a life of suppression. Because if somebody goes for a suppressed sex desire, it will also attack the person again in the form of wet dreams or irritability or restlessness of the mind, extreme mind wandering, becoming irritable for very small things also. Because with material determination, one cannot control sex life. Or one can control, but to some degree only. Or one gets wet dreams, means what? Why one gets wet dreams of nightfall and all these things? That is because actually one is contemplating on sex life during the day, and one is not trying to get married and exercise the sex life and begetting children. Then it comes as nightfalls and things like that. So therefore, when we talk about taking to the celibate order, or brahmacharya order, it is not a repression or a suppression of sexual desire. Because it is a very powerful force. If you suppress, for example, anger, if you suppress anger, it goes deep in your heart and creates complicated diseases in your body when you suppress anger. Or it goes deep in your heart and produces a very deep revengeful vibrations, which will explode in an ugly way. Like sometimes small children, when they are kids, they are beaten by their parents or scolded by their parents very strongly, and the children have no power to retaliate when they are small. But when they become 13, 14, 15, two things they do to parents. One thing they will say is, you see your things, I will see my thing. I will run away with a girl or something. They may or not become obedient, that is one thing. Another thing is they may attack the parents back. So because you bit me when I was a kid, now I'll beat you now. So that's called animosity. Suppressed animosity comes out as an animal when they grow up. So anger is a very powerful force. And anger is the brother of lust. So it's called kamanuja, correct? No? So lust and anger are two extremely powerful forces. If you suppress it in childhood, it comes out in an ugly way when one grows to adulthood as animosity. So therefore such suppression is not actually the solution. Especially what will happen if somebody is suppressing lust by running away from woman. I think it is because of the woman only I'm feeling lust. Actually, lust is not in a woman, lust is in our mind. Lust is sitting in our mind. If I am wearing a red color specs, everything looks red. So it's not that lust is sitting in a woman. Actually, we have a lusty look at the environment around us in this world. Therefore, we see lust everywhere, for that enjoying mentality. So therefore, whenever our vairagya wanes or becomes a little weak, sometime when it slackens our meditation or chanting or absorption, and that is the time the attack of this disease comes. And then one will eventually find oneself being attacked by lust, and one will secrete semen, semen will flow downwards, and it will make the person's vairagya even more weaker. And then in this way one may become weaker and weaker for a period of time. And therefore, suppression appears to be a solution in the beginning, but it is not a long-lasting solution. In the beginning, in case one of the lessons taught to brahmacharis is to keep away from woman, away from the pictures of woman, away from any association with woman. Why it is taught? Because we want a dwell time which we want to spend in chanting, prayer, worship of the Lord, study, deep study of the scriptures, and analytical thinking and contemplation on spiritual subject matter, awakening attraction for the deities of the Lord, and developing close bonds with advanced Vaishnavas and superiors who are deeply realized. So for all these things, we need time, energy, attention, focus, absorption. We need time for these things. Therefore, we are told that you withdraw from the world of matter. Don't let the mind get cluttered in the world of matter. If mind gets cluttered in the world of sense objects, then there is no progress in spiritual life. So we have to withdraw it. And then how is the ojas formed in the brain that he is explaining here? Actually, ojas is a spiritual shakti, but and the semen that is formed in the body is a material thing. So how does it become spiritual? And that is explained, just like iron rod you put in fire, it gets fiery qualities. Like for example, when the fire is produced in the coal, coal is blackish, but when you put the coal in fire, after some time it starts giving light and heat. Ordinary coal doesn't give light and heat. Ordinary coal is just cold, but when it is harnessed in a certain way, it starts giving heat and light. Same principle with semen also. The 40 drops of blood which converts into semen, and then this the semen is in a dormant state in the body. It does not become liquid and flow downwards. Sometimes allopathic doctors have a wrong notion, a foolish notion, that the semen is formed and it is recirculated into the blood. That is their wrong notion, which is not true. If you read the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, it clearly says that the semen is never formed at all for a brahmachari. It is kept in a sublime state, and then it is transmuted into the ojas, the spiritual fluid. So for a person who associates with study of the scriptures, and he is able to gradually access the spiritual truths, for him the sublimated semen flows upwards, which is called the urdhvareta, as we call it, and then it goes to the brain and it forms a liquid in the brain. If somebody 12 years he had no sex at all, physically, if somebody avoided completely, according to the Yoga Sutras, one develops a medha nadi, they call it. The medha nadi actually means one can realize spiritual truths which are not realizable by a common man. One can see sublime realizations and truths which are not observable by common man. But for that, one has to completely abstain from sex life. To completely abstain from sex life, therefore one should not give any opportunity for the senses to be hovering over the sense objects, especially the opposite sex. And also, if one is allowing one's sexual agitations to keep arising in the mind, and the senses are also wetted, one has a wetted consciousness, just like sprinkling water in a firewood, then the firewood becomes smoky. Similarly, the fleshy senses cannot do any harm to a person if he has already taken his mind and applied it in spiritual path fully. He has withdrawn the mind. The secret is withdrawing the mind from matter. That is the secret. Actually, foolish people, there are some Naga Babas and all, they even take some egg of one bird. There is a bird whose egg they eat. If you eat that egg, you become impotent. So their genitals may become impotent, but their sex desires are not gone. The desires are there, but the instrument is spoiled. I mean, instrument is stopped from exercising. So for those people also, urdhva ritas doesn't happen. Because if the mind is repeatedly dwelling on thoughts of sex, so they may not want to use the sense for indulging in wrong behavior, but gradually it is dhirya ritas only. It flows down only. Although they may not use it for begetting children and all that. But if one actually has to make the semen flow upward, and actually why we want to make it flow upward, what do we want to achieve ultimately? Because if it flows upwards and becomes ojas, that ojas, the spiritual fluid that forms in the brain, produces the amritatvam. The amrita bindu is produced by that. And that amrita bindu, according to the Yoga Sutras, it says that it is extremely helpful in spiritual life to get spiritual experiences, spiritual realizations, like we say, Brahma Samsparsham or Parayishwara Anubhavam. These kind of words are used in Shastra. So for that it is extremely helpful and it is very anukul. So much so that once a person does that, he can easily withdraw from unwanted engagement for the senses and mind after that. Once a person gets that. Therefore, these people foolishly suppressing the senses, they are trying to kill the indriyas. That is actually not the right method. That should be understood. So the actually controlling the sex energy and transmuting it into ojas shakti primarily means conserving it, conserving the semen and diverting it into higher channels. Like for example, the Prabhupada says that in the path of bhakti yoga we use all the material commodities, but they are rendered spiritual. For example, the chamar is made of some yak tail. It's made of yak tail. Peacock feather is made from, you know, peacocks, isn't it? You know, similarly the shank, you know, the bell. So these are all taken from different commodities, are taken from the material nature. They are all, from a mundane point of view, they are mundane only. But when they are aligned in service to the Supreme Lord, then they are counted as handling sacred items. Correct? Now they come under sacred items. You keep them very nicely because it's meant to be used in Lord's service. So you keep it in a clean place, in a sacred place. You don't just throw it here and there. Similarly, a paper which may use for printing newspaper, you throw it in raddi. Many times in cars they put a paper below and keep their foot also on that, isn't it? But the same paper, if it is used for printing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, then it becomes a sacred paper. Then it is kept on a elevated seat, even people put flowers, people offer obeisances to it. Scriptures are actually worshipable. The same, so paper is a mundane thing, but it can be rendered spiritual by connecting with the Lord. And the same is the principle of brahmacharya. Brahmacharya is mundane. We may be a brahmacharya actually means you contemplate on the spiritual subject and you are dwelling on it. But if somebody is a nashtika brahmachari, he may at the most go to Satyaloka and join the sages and saints there in performing meditation and absorption in the Supreme, which may be they may contemplate on Supreme Brahman or something like that. Whereas if a brahmachari takes the sexual energy and utilizes it in devotional service, awakening, loving devotion to Supreme Lord, then the brahmacharya becomes a very good aid in in giving all one's energy in the Lord's service completely. Not only the lust energy, but also the anger energy also. Like for example, when one indulges in sex, so much energy is drained out by that. Not only the body is de-energized, the conviction and the vairagya and the determination and the one-pointed focus in spiritual life, all are spoiled by that. Especially if one is not doing it as a service to Guru. For example, the grihasthas, they even take blessing and permission from Guru to beget a child. Many husband wives, they go and meet Guru, offer obeisances and tell the Guru that we are actually planning to beget child this year. Please kindly bless us. And Guru gives them blessing, and then they may go and chant 50 rounds individually, and then they unite, and then they beget a child. The child they may raise in Krishna consciousness. So, which means you can understand, even in Grihastha Ashrama, Krishna says, Dharma Viruddho Bhuteshu Kamasmi Bharatarshava. So, even if a Grihastha man is using the semen only for the purpose of giving a virya to beget a child, and he does not use it for any other purpose, even he is a very powerful Grihastha Brahmachari. His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj in one of his lectures said, I released the semen only 7 times in my year, in my life. 7 times in my life, he says, as a Grihastha man before. And in 7 times he begot 7 children. Besides that, I have never unnecessarily wasted it. He says that. So, you can imagine if Grihastha man follows such a standard, what to speak of Brahmacharis? If a Brahmachari is letting it loose, letting the downward organ loose, Muladhara organ loose, then he has no substance in life. Therefore, now we are living in a world surrounded by, filled with so much opportunities for sense gratification, living in the heart of the city. So every time our senses come in contact with sense objects, then there is a, agitation created inside, just like melting of the butter. The butter may be kept in the fridge for many years, but then it melts when you come in contact with the fire. So those fellows who are associating with the sense object. Actually, everybody comes in contact with sense objects because you are living in city. But some people make an effort to withdraw their senses. Like Lord Krishna gives example of tortoise. Oh, this is dangerous for my spiritual life. They withdraw. And some people think, no, I will dwell on them because I get some happiness. I get some pleasure. But I will not, give up my brahmacharya and go to the next order. So when they dwell on it, then they become impure, contaminated in their mind, and then the semen becomes thinned and it flows downwards, and it keeps flowing downward flowing, and then they don't gather much substance in spiritual life. So they may stay for many long years, but they don't gain spiritual realizations. Because without getting higher taste, after 5, 10, 20, 30 years, if you don't get higher taste, you can't stick on. How long can we do drama? Correct, no? After some time, we need some realization. And we need some satisfaction. Once you got some satisfaction here, then there is no attraction there. You don't have to go anywhere else. But if you are not able to get anything here substantial, then we feel very dry, very frustrated. Then, while not having obtained something here, just like Prabhupada says, a rocket goes up, you didn't find the planet to land. Then what the rocket does? It takes U-turn and comes back. Then he comes back, he says. So, therefore, param drishtva nevartate, he says. So, therefore, it is in our interest from the early stage of brahmachari life to not do those things which are going to become detrimental to our stability, progress and development in spiritual life. For one of them is eating habit. For example, if a person's eating habit is not utterly simple, because we have come here for a very, very spiritual purpose. If you see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, you may see the long list of items they have eaten in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what all were cooked and what all were eaten. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was criticized by Ramachandra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not stopped eating, he ate but very little quantity. He reduced it to 1/4 or something like that. When he reduced the food to 1/4 of the quantity, what do you think Vaishnavas did? They didn't reduce. They stopped eating. You read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says they stopped eating completely. But they were actually so much pained at heart that Mahaprabhu is reducing his quantity of eating. They completely stopped eating. So, this also we should take note of such things also. One day if we have to fast, we have so much struggle. On Ekadashi day or something. So, people say that in Chaitanya Charitamrita characters, they are eating all these things, why can't we eat? Okay, if you are eating, you have to follow the other side also. If they are fasting, fast for a week. Can we fast for a week? Can we do that? If you want to follow the characters in CC, you want to follow fully. Raghunath Das is drinking buttermilk once in 3 days. How many of us are ready for drinking buttermilk once in 3 days? Think about it. So, people, and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, when Bengali Vaishnavas were inquiring about them, people who would come to Vrindavan and go back, they were reporting that, what are they eating? chickpeas. They are wearing kaupin and gamsha and they are only eating chickpeas. What is chickpeas? Channa, is it? Channa. That's what they were eating, a few chickpeas in a day. And they were just drinking water and then doing their writing work and everything. You know? So you don't see them after having become Goswamis eating a very big delicious food day in and day out. Huh? So therefore, one of the things that we get cheated is especially in a renounced order to eat fine food, fine type of foods, like Mahaprasad for example. If you take little quantity, it is all right. Ultimately, it's offered to Lord. It's very holy. With that attitude, one may take a little small piece in the mouth. But if one makes a program for eating a good amount of quantity or saving it and all, they are nicely preparing to go out after some years. They won't be able to continue in the ashram because this is not meant for brahmachari life. Brahmachari and sannyasis are supposed to restrain the senses. Actually, you can distribute prasadam. There is no restriction for that. The more we give prasad to other people, we are not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to keep a big stock of prasad of Raghava Pandit and Damayanti in our stock and keep eating. If you are Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can do that. You may be able to do that. And Lord Chaitanya can eat a huge quantity of prasad served by Advaita Acharya Prabhu because he is eating chappan bhog in Jagannath Puri. So when we as sadhus, we have to know that our body is like any other person's body, normal body. If we are going to agitate our two senses, Prabhupada says, are very powerful in our body, tongue and the genitals. And he writes openly in the purports, when a man marries a woman, the woman first feeds him very tasty and delicious preparations and he eats it and his body becomes plumpy, very stout and strong. Then he develops a desire to indulge in sex life. And then he drains out his energy, repeatedly indulging in sex life, and when semen flows downward, therefore you will find people, if they are indulging in sex regularly, they become very weak-minded in spiritual life. They are struggling to complete even the 16 rounds. They are struggling to, they hardly get to read the Shastra, and they become materially motivated. They go out in the outside world, work hard. Therefore, it is said that when you come to the spiritual life, these three powerful forces, lust, anger and greed, which take people downward and run into the material world and do lot of materialistic activities, that can be withdrawn and transferred upward. Yeah, like Urdhvaritas people, what they will do, like the strong tendency for lust which flows downward, that turns into love. Then that love is not ordinary love, it's a mad love. Like you can see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed madness. And not only Chaitanya, all the acharyas down the line, they became mad after Krishna. Otherwise, how did they do so much? So, the love also in this world, is it mad or not? Tremendous madness is there in love. Is there any boy and girl whose love is very lukewarm? They say, I love her. I have some love for her. Anybody is like this? People are mad. He will take her here, take her there, feed her in the hotel, give her a dress, chase after her, wanting to get married to her. If parents don't allow, they jump off from a mountain also and commit suicide also. People are mad. Similarly, nobody can say, I am a devotee and you are very cool. No, I chant Hare Krishna once in a while. No. Actually, there has to be, the vigor in spiritual life is direct. The lust which flows like this. And that is love. Same with anger also. When the anger, which is de-energizing us, because when we become angry, so much of mental energy is lost. Physical body also undergoes a lot of toxins when you become angry. When you become angry, according to doctors also, they have found out that when you become angry, you know, the toxins enter into blood. I have personal experience. If somebody does something abominable, I become extremely angry, then stomach is completely arrested. You won't have digestion. You know, you go to Ayurvedic doctors, they will say your blood has become toxic. You have to take some medicines to purify the blood. So the adrenaline secretes, and it really makes the body very diseased when you become angry. On the contrary, when the anger is controlled and sent upwards, again, that also is very, whether it is muscular energy of the engagement of the genitals in sex, or it is the anger energy, it can all be transmuted into ojas. Actually, what is the advantage of transforming it into ojas? You can do a lot of mental work. One who has, how do you know a person has transformed the lust, anger and greed into ojas? He will have a very good contemplation ability. Thinking, contemplation, absorption, meditation, prayer. And because these kind, like for example, you are seeing this object or the table or the mic, these are all hard objects which you perceive with your gross senses. Similarly, there are subtle objects which are perceived by the mind, and there are spiritual objects which are perceived by the soul. Like the, for example, the form of the deity that you see on the altar, and you worship, and then you study the scriptures. In the Bhagavatam itself, it is said, Vicharasi Urusvanaha, the word is used in Bhagavatam, which means the spiritual form of the Lord emerges from the pages of Bhagavatam. And then you can see him dance, you can see him sing, you can see him giving association to his devotees and perform his pastimes. So these are all extreme, these are not even subtle, these are spiritual. There is gross, subtle and spiritual. So to go from gross to subtle to spiritual, one should have a high mental ability. One should be able to use the mind to contemplate, reflect, make some plan of action. So one should be able to think. The thinking, consciousness, all these things we can put when our mind is functioning well. Otherwise, Prabhupada says, people who eat meat, they become completely dull-headed. They cannot have any spiritual contemplation, not possible. So, in the same manner, if our eating habits, sleeping habits, sexual habits, if these habits are like animalistic, then the result is that we remain on the gross plane. And even the subtle plane also remains hidden from us. We are not able to understand that also. But if we transmute it into ojas, then the subtle plane and then eventually the spiritual plane will be revealed. That is then one becomes spiritually awakened. One becomes, one develops that ability. See, although it appears like a very wonderful thing, this type of process of sex sublimation is extremely difficult for one reason. Why it is extremely difficult? Because it demands a constant focus on sadhana and perfect personal discipline. Actually, you will see there are people who will follow discipline for a while and then they'll give up. For some distance they'll follow, then they'll give up. Again, they may follow for some time, then they may give up like that. Especially even in terms of study of the Shastra, of worshipping the Lord, offering prayer, keeping oneself very spiritual and withdrawing from material engagements. Actually, people lose determination. People lose fixity, concentration in spiritual, because the material sense objects are easily accessible and the spiritual goals are far away. So because they are not easily accessible to us, therefore we need faith in Guru and Acharya, faith in the spiritual master, faith in Prabhupada, faith in the message of the Guru Parampara which is coming. So we have to become like a Chataka Pakshi. A Chataka Pakshi will always look for rainwater from the sky. And the Chataka Pakshi will never, even if there are reservoirs of water on the ground, it will never put the beak on those waters. So the waters in this world are compared to sense gratification. And the water coming from the clouds is like the spiritual, you know, substance. So it requires, you know, faith in the superior's teachings. And also it requires loyalty. It requires sincerity. It requires alignment with the wisdom coming in the Guru Parampara. It requires integrity, not to cheat oneself and cheat others. It requires character. It requires a person who actually will not secretly, like Krishna says, manasasmaran, you know, karma indriyani samyamyayaste manasasmaran indriyartan vimudhatma mityaracharasa uchyate. All that he says. So, therefore this process is very difficult. But, good news for us is what? In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, yunjananam abhaktanam pranayamadibir manaha akshina vasanam rajan drishyate punarutitham. This verse says, yunjananam abhaktanam. If you are abhakta, for abhakta to be a brahmachari, pratha, you cannot keep it. Abhaktanam. Why? He says that yama adivirmanaha, controlling the pratha, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, is not possible for them. Why? Because akshina vasanam rajan, drishyate punarutitham. The vasanas will keep arising and he will be forced to answer to the calls of the vasanas. Like that he says. But those who are bhaktas, you know, they are not having, like for example, the jnanis, they say that, you know, don't allow the sex energy to flow downwards. Always think, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Atman. Think like that. Is it possible? Simply thinking Atman, Atman, how long will you be thinking? You'll get bored. Huh? Whereas the path of bhakta yogis is so wonderful because you act on the platform of Atman. You act on the platform of Brahman. Like you use your hands, legs in serving the deities, serving the devotees. You know, we go for distributing books, we do Harinam Sankirtan. All our physical and mental faculties are completely usable in the path of Bhakti Yoga. Only we have to use them. If we don't use them, we have to be blamed. Because by using the physical and mental faculties completely in Lord service, Lord Krishna service, one can withdraw from the mind and senses flowing downwards. And that is the biggest plus point in the path of Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, becoming Urdhva Retas in the path of Bhakti Yoga is very easy. Whether you are a brahmachari or a grihastha. As I told you, in either of the ashrama, if one conserves the semen and makes it flow upwards, then the ojas helps him to enhance his spiritual realizations and consciousness very easily. Yeah. And one very interesting thing is what? And a gift of such a practice is what? You will not only do tyaga, but you will follow the principle of virakti. What is the difference between tyaga and virakti? Tyaga means externally giving up things. Virakti means you lose taste for sense enjoyment. So, which is better? Tyaga is better or virakti is better? Virakti is better. So, that is one of the symptoms of bhava bhakta. If somebody is a bhava bhakta, what is that verse which says? Virakti mana shunyata, he says, no? Yeah. So the 9 qualities of a bhava bhakta, one of them is virakti. Kshantir abhyartha kalatvam, viraktir mana shunyata. That virakti, he says. So virakti means what, for example, initially it may be painful for a living entity to withdraw one's mind from the attraction and allurements like eating habits or other sense objects for the eyes. One is withdrawing and focusing only on spiritual life. But if one does it regularly, constantly, non-stop, then the result of that would be over a period of time, again you look at those sense objects, they will look pale. No more attraction. That is a gift for a devotee. Therefore, when one becomes advanced in spiritual life, and the eyes have become tinged with salve of love, then the sense objects cannot allure him anymore after that. So the example is given, if you have a pot of milk, in that you add water to that, the milk becomes dilute. So this is the situation of an early day sadhaka. Early day sadhaka, you know, he has some substance with him in terms of trying to practice spiritual life. But when the material world at allurements add water to his, you know, heart, then his intensity in spiritual life becomes diluted. This is the reason you find many boys who say that we want to dedicate our life. Later on they say that we have changed our mind because the determination is dismantled by the dilution. By the dilution that happens by associating with Maya. They were so strong at one time, now where is the strength gone? Because that determination is dismantled, weakened. I have seen 5 years ago somebody was so strong. Now 5 years down the line, he has become very weak now. Because the reason is he has associated with, you know, illusion and he has become weak-minded. It's like mixing milk with water. But the same milk, if you keep it away from water, make sure nobody puts any water. Keep it all away and then make dahi out of that. And then you make butter out of it. And all this takes time. Like, you know, overnight you have to keep it. If you go to sleep, somebody may put water. Isn't it? So make sure you keep it in lock and key And therefore we protect brahmacharis from falling down. Correct, no? Because if we can keep the brahmacharis away from the maya's influence and bring the butter out of their hearts, that is, the butter means that sadhana. By very good sadhana, a brahmachari is keeping himself away from maya, and then the butter like heart comes, which means what is the difference between milk and butter? If you put butter in water, will it mix? It will not mix. That means one who has done sadhana very well and developed a higher taste, even if he is surrounded by maya, he will not be affected. The practical proof is Prabhupada himself. He went to the Western world. He was surrounded by young boys and girls of the West. There are so many Swamis who went to West, fell down and married an American lady and settled there only. They took a green card and settled there. There are people like that. But Prabhupada, you will see that. How Prabhupada went to the West and instead of getting carried away by their culture, he made them give up the dirty culture and pick up Krishna conscious culture. So, therefore, until we become like butter, it is in our interest that we withdraw from overeating or opulent eating, and we withdraw from sight of the opposite sex and association with the opposite sex, with the desire to enjoy, and looking for little opportunities here and there to dwell in sense gratification, or unnecessarily releasing semen for no purpose, not for begetting children. So when one is very attentive to these things, and while doing these things, then one is able to withdraw oneself. Then focus on what? Focus on shastric study and spiritual contemplation, taking darshan of the Lord, the deities, discussing the pastimes of the Lord, developing attraction, affection for the Lord, serious spiritual practice, very staunch spiritual practice. Tivrena bhakti yogena ejeta purusham param, Bhagavatam says that. So, By that, two steps we are talking about. One is withdrawing step, another one is focusing step. Withdraw from things which will make us dhirya ret, instead of urdhva ret, withdraw from those things. And then to become urdhva ret and develop ojas, you focus on spiritual subject matter fully, attentively. So that was one part of the purport. And the other part, second part of the purport is about selflessness. Those who are becoming renunciates, they have to cultivate this quality. It's an absolutely mandatory quality for any renunciate. They have to have feelings for the suffering souls. Like he says here, Tektva Turanam Ashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sadatuchavat. Actually, we should accept very little for ourselves, and we should offer everything for the service of bringing the souls to Krishna's lotus feet. One should be we are in a spiritual organization which is offering us facility for eating and accommodation and a nice shastric study, and then this organization offers us opportunity for service to the people by giving them Krishna conscious wisdom. So take advantage of the facility that you are getting, and not undue advantage of the facility. Taking undue advantage means what? Making an eating program, making a sleeping program, creating a comfort and luxury program of comfort zone, living in the comfort zone, and keeping an illicit program with somebody, having a romantic affair with somebody. So in this way, these are all examples of taking undue advantage of the organization. Correct, no? We have come for a purpose. If I am not doing the purpose here, I better quit and be honest man outside doing a job in a company, earning money and maintaining a family, if that is what is my goal. Otherwise, if my goal is to actually selflessly do something for the society, like the way Prabhupada did, following in his footsteps. So we have to cultivate that. The example Lord Krishna gives in the Bhagavatam is the tree example. The tree, Paschata yetan mahabhagan pararta ikanta jivitan vata varshata pahiman sahanto varayantinaha. He says that. Paschata yetan is calling all his friends. He Stoka Krishna, He Amshu. Amshu's name in Bhagavatam. He Amshu Sri Daman Subala Arjuna. Paschata yetan mahabhagan pararte ekanta jivitan vata varshita pahiman sahanto varayantinaha. He is saying that. He Stoka Krishna, He Amshu, He Sri Dama, He Subala Arjuna, all of you come here. Look at this tree. See, the tree, he is sahanto, he is tolerating the cold. and is giving warmth to the people below. And Vata Varsha also. It takes the rains and gives shelter to people below. And also the heat of the sun it takes and gives shade to the people below. Not only that, Padma, you know, Patra Pushpa Falachaya, that is the next verse. He says that. He says, some trees' leaves are very beneficial. You can combine the leaves and make a plate, leaf plate. And some trees are giving fruits, some are giving flowers also. Some give tree bark, some give firewood, some give wood for making tables like this, chairs like this. They provide such kind of facility. While living, it is giving shade and fruits and flowers. Even a woodpecker goes and makes a hole in the tree, still the tree is ready to give shade, shelter to that woodpecker also. Similarly, you will find there are Vaishnavas who are extremely tolerant, like Prahalad. His father is like a woodpecker. He was trying to poke Prahalad, but Prahalad prayed for the deliverance of his father. You can see that. And also, if somebody takes a throne and stone and throws it in a mango tree, he throws one stone and mango tree gives four mangoes back. So that is the beauty of the tree. If somebody like Ambarish, you know, Durvasa Muni was hitting Ambarish by creating a demon, and Ambarish prayed for his deliverance. So that is the tolerance of a Vaishnava. And the tree never asks for water. Although it may be running dry, it never asks. If somebody gives water, it accepts. Similarly, Vaishnava is such that whatever Krishna provides, he accepts. Okay, dal rice today, no problem. Pulao kadi rasamalai puran poli, no problem. Whatever Krishna provides, he doesn't have any demands. Why this is not there? Why that is not there? He doesn't make any demands. So he is very tolerant. Therefore, the example of the tree Tharorapi Sahishnuna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes the example of the tree. A tree is a very, very selfless creature. Even Lord Krishna quotes the example of the tree. So he says that if we become Vaishnavas, we are calling ourselves to be Vaishnava preachers and sadhus, we should simply follow the example of the tree. How much are we doing for the suffering masses of the world? You know, with whatever parampara given knowledge which we are carrying, we should reach it to them. Reach the knowledge to them, reach prasadam to them, reach a holy name to them. Instead of being in our own ivory towers, extend ourselves to reaching out to the suffering people. And not be too much concerned about one's own sense gratification or one's own comforts and everything. So that is actually the meaning of a sadhu. A sadhu is always like our rishi. Rishi means welfare worker for the whole society. Rishis means they sit together and contemplate. The modern day society is degrading like this. What can we do? How can we help the people to get out of this, you know, Maya's clutches? Maya is coming in various forms in the modern times. They are always contemplating on helping the suffering masses. Suffering masses are foolish, gullible masses. They get cheated very easily. Just like foolish animals are lining up to go to a slaughterhouse and get slaughtered. So it is the duty of those who have got the vision to see the Divya Chakshu, Shastra Chakshu, Prema Chakshu. It is in their interest to see them doing great welfare work according to the age, time, place, circumstance. So Srila Prabhupada was such an intelligent acharya. You know, he understood all the acharyas writing tika in Sanskrit. How can the modern day man understand? Modern day man is here, acharyas are there. There's a big gap between the two. Bridge the gap by writing Bhaktivedanta purports to the Bhagavatam. He wrote that in English. Then it started spreading all over the world. People, even the Western man could read the Bhagavatam. Even we people were not knowing Sanskrit to read all the tikas. Now we are able to benefit from the study of Bhagavatam, and in every ISKCON temple, these kind of classes are happening every day. People are reading the English purports and explaining it. In the same manner, Srila Prabhupada actually paved way for modern day people who are struggling with Maya's various varieties of forms to get easy access to Krishna. So therefore, following in Prabhupada's footsteps, we also should give our sweat and toil for the same purpose. So these are the... So he's saying three amongst those 10 sons of Priyavrat, namely Kavi, Mahavir and Savana, lived in complete celibacy, thus trained in brahmachari life from the beginning of childhood. They were very conversant with the highest perfection, known as Paramahamsa Ashrama. Yeah. So actually, to become a Urdhva Retas, one has to work at the level of mind itself. Because if one is allowing the mind to dwell on sense objects, then the senses, then the physical senses get agitated, and gradually one is just like some, you know, they put a rope around the goat's neck and they drag the goat to slaughterhouse. Once the goat allows the rope to come around his neck, he is finished, then he is going to be dragged there. Similarly, once we allow our mind to dwell on these dirty things, either the purva vasanas or new vasanas that we pick up, then we are actually allowing ourselves to be put a noose around our neck and being dragged towards, you know, dhirya retas, semen flowing downwards. Therefore, in order for us not to allow the noose to come under around our neck, the simple tips I told you, when prasadam is being served, one has to be very alert and attentive. What am I eating? What is going inside? Not that my tongue is liking it, I will eat it. One has to be very careful about two things, not overeating and not opulent eating. So by taking, because from ahar, everything starts from what goes into ahar shuddhav, sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddhav, dhruva smriti. Smriti lambe granti naam vipramoksha, he says. From all bondage we can be released by proper, you know, control of the ahara diet. Similarly, proper control of the sleep, proper control of the recreation. And also, the study of the Shastra is not just an intellectual exercise or a scholarly exercise. Study of the Shastra is actually to give our heart to Krishna. Ultimately, that is the goal. Study the Shastra and assimilate it, relish it, repeat it to others. And then you live it and make others live it also. Then it's possible to take all the lust, anger and greed energies upwards. Instead of becoming greedy to accumulate possessions for myself, I can be greedy to expand the movement. Let the movement expand far and wide. Like once the Prabhupada said, I want to preach, Prabhupada said, I want to preach to everyone, everywhere, he said. And then Swami Sachidananda Maharaj says, a pure devotee wants to post himself in every atom and preach the glories of the Lord. Why? Because Lord is standing a super soul in every atom. So he wants to sit next to Lord's feet and glorify him. This is the Lord. So great. So don't think Prabhupada is over ambitious. He says that because Lord is all pervading, pure devotees, greed is also all pervading. To preach the glories of the Lord everywhere. Shri Prabhupada ki, Bhaktavrinda ki.